Good morning to you all. It is a true joy to be with you again. This morning we continue our look at Luke's account in the book of Acts, where we've talked about being a witness of the gospel, we've talked about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the community of faith living in that power, and it being displayed in our living and the sharing of life together and the gospel, sharing it boldly in word and in deed. Now, of course, this brought about conflict with those who believed and lived differently. It brought conflict with those who felt the gospel threatened their power. You know what? In a way, they were right to feel threatened. Jesus said, "I have come to bring life in all its fullness," but that required something, and I'm going to use Jesus' own words. In Luke 9, we see when Jesus said, he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, must take up their cross daily and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for me will save it." That's a challenging statement. We see the bold proclamation of the gospel to find life in Christ, but Christ demands our life in return. This is a proclamation that says we are telling a better story, really the true story of life in all its fullness. And we are invited, and we are inviting others to experience a deep truth, a truth that has the power to transform life. I love how Paul states it in Romans 12 when he said, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world." And you see where he starts. There's going to be change. "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, perfect will." So yes, there is a pull and a pressure to bring about change in our lives. And yes, that will result in conflict between the stories that you live with in light of the gospel story. Inside and outside, there are forces that threaten the church. Lies being told in us and around us. We see cultural forces in the book of Acts, Hellenism, this pull of the prevailing Greek-Roman culture. We see racism at work in the Acts culture. We see it in terms of the widows from other cultures being neglected, and there's tension that, and you're going to hear more about that in the weeks to come. We see God at work in the midst of the messiness of people's lives, and there's persecutions that are happening. When you read Acts 5, which is what I'm dealing with today, you know, we're going to see Peter and John arrested yet again, and this time flogged severely, and then released, and then right back at it in terms of proclaiming the gospel and bring about healing. The Spirit cannot be contained even when they are imprisoned. And so let's jump into the passage that we're going to look at today. I'm going to take a little bit of Acts 4 at the end of it, where I left off last week, and jump into Acts 5. So look at it with me. Acts 4, just the end of it there, verse 32. "All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own. They shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there was no needy person among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought money from the sales and put that money at the feet of the apostles, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet." When I read that, you say, what a beautiful community. But now let's jump into Acts 5, 1 through 11. "Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. And then Peter said, 'Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to a human being, but to God.' And when Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. And then some young men came forward and wrapped up his body and carried him out to be buried. And then about 3 hours later, his wife came in not knowing what had happened. And Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" "Yes," she said, "that's the price." And Peter said to her, "How could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." And at that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. And then the young man came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear seized the whole church and all who heard these events. What an awful story. Is this the same faith community we just read about in Acts 4? Because there's a tremendous contrast in these stories. Yet this is the same faith community. You know, I love the line in chapter 4, 32, where it says, "There was no needy person among them, because the needy came knowing they were needy, and thus needs were met." You know, and I'm sure those who came with financial needs and got them met also came and found out that they actually had a greater need for grace and life in Christ. And that those needs were then being met. Let me say this to you now, that let's be thankful if we know our needs. Because if you don't, you won't seek help. The religious leaders that conflict with the apostles all the time here, in the main, they could not see Christ for who he is because it required them to acknowledge so much of their own neediness. It required such surrender of will, such surrender of ego and control. And they couldn't do that. So yes, the call of the gospel to die to self is going to be offensive to many. I want to show you a couple of verses about this offensiveness. If we look in Romans 14, where Paul writes, "Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister." Now, contrast this with 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23, where Paul writes there, "But we preach Christ crucified," and then here again, "a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles." I want you to note those verses because the gospel may be offensive because of its call to surrender and transformation. But the other verse saying, "But you need not be offensive in your presentation of the gospel. You need not be a stumbling block." In Acts, the church in Jerusalem seems to be the real deal. You know, it's marked by hospitality and gratitude and generosity and worship and unity and praise and healing, all these beautiful things. A community meant to be a place where people could flourish. And this also meant that it was a place where our fallenness and our neediness could be shown. And yes, so those financial needs, but also social needs, and also our struggles with deceit and betrayal and abuse and arrogance and greed, all of it. All of it. The brokenness in us and the brokenness around us. And it's in our marriages and it's in our families. And we need to talk about it somewhere. We've been shaped by it. Our pasts are part of the story and we need to look at. So yes, when we're talking about here, because of these two contrasting yet stories of community, we are talking about authentic community. And it's just that. It's a place to be real. A place to bring our needs. So God's love can be on display in real ways. You know, I love the line in Acts where it said they had all things in common. Think about that, though. Yes, that meant, you know, they had their stuff and their resources in common with each other, they shared. But they also had a common humanity with all the brokenness and all the fallenness. So let us not romanticize this early church. And Luke doesn't let us. At the end of chapter 4, he ends with Barnabas, son of encouragement, giving generously from the heart, a beautiful thing. And then we go right into Ananias and Sapphira, pretending generosity. They both die. What a fun story. What they did is they kept back some of the money, pretending it was everything. They didn't have to give. Not everyone was giving and selling their houses. That's not what was going on here. Some did. They could have given whatever amount they wanted. You know, and I can hear Ananias and Sapphira thinking, man, everybody's loving Barnabas. I mean, he's looking so good. He's even got this awesome nickname. You know, I want a nickname. I want to look that good. Was it all of it? Ananias, yeah, all of it. You know, trying to look good. And the husband and wife die. And there's great fear in the community. Yeah, no kidding. I'm not going to pretend I fully comprehend all of that. But know this. God takes authentic community oh so seriously. Oh so seriously. You know, that's why Peter said, Satan has their hearts. That's a big deal. He desires the destruction of community. And this lie was a lie to God himself. Later on in the chapter, you're going to read about all kinds of signs and wonders. It hit me a little bit here. This is part of the signs and wonders, albeit not a particularly attractive sign. You know, these two people dying was a sign and a terrible wonder. Now, here's the issue we're talking about here. The issue we're talking about is hypocrisy. And hypocrisy is a community killer. Trying to look better than we are. It's a huge issue in the church then, and it is also now. Pretending, putting on facades, being a hypocrite. Right? It's even from a Greek word meaning put on a mask. Ananias and Sapphira, you know, they saw Barnabas and others as well getting acknowledged for their good acts, and they wanted some of those accolades. They wanted some of that recognition. But we need to remember that the heart of community, really the heart of this whole community and our community, is our need for grace and healing. And that implies needing grace and knowing you need it. Ananias and Sapphira didn't know their needs and they didn't know their hearts. If they did, they would have come for prayer. A prayer seeking healing, a prayer to wrestle against their ungenerous hearts. Craving for God's glory, not their own. You know, Peter says it really strongly. He said, you conspired, you schemed. Because of Christ, we are free to be honest. Because we all, it says it, we all need grace. You know, let me quote Acts 4:33 to you again. God's grace was powerfully at work in all of them. What is it to have grace at work? You know, I see the people in the time of Acts, you know, people were hearing and seeing the gospel at work, the good news of the grace draws them, hospitality and truth and love. Then they start kind of hanging around the faith community. They're looking around. They're watching others. Same today. You know, they're looking at the community in action. You know, all these good acts, all these things going on. But, you know, maybe the clothes and the phrases. I mean, and some start trying to look like a Christian and talk like a Christian. You know, that could be about discipleship. You could say, yeah, man, I want to learn to live like that because it's so healthy. But it also allows for us to try to pretend it and live in hypocrisy and let it not be real. You trying to put it on instead of surrendering to the work of the Spirit, which leads to heart transformation. Hypocrites do not go to the heart. They instead go for putting on a mask instead of that. Listen to me carefully. You're not perfect. So take a deep breath. But listen to me carefully in this. You are perfect in Christ and His work and the Spirit's work. So take a deep breath. Rest in that. And then allow the Spirit to continue the work of transformation in you. You are there in Christ and you are getting there in Christ. It's both. Without that, you'll try to put it on, and it doesn't work. You know, what a different story if Ananias and Sapphira had come broken and aware, knowing they needed God to transform their greedy hearts. And then they didn't have to be Barnabas. They would hear God saying, be you, but be the you I created you to be. Which means the fallen you needs some work, some transforming. We're all in the process of becoming more like Christ. That's why at Hope Community we have that saying, right? You belong, we're believing stuff, and we're all becoming. We're there in Christ, and we're working more to become like Christ. And let's remember, we all come needy all the time. And transformation is the Spirit's work, and surrender is ours. And if we don't do this, we will fail to live in authentic community where we really are known and loved. Secrets and isolation help nobody. You being privatized in your faith walk and life isn't going to benefit your growth, and therefore it will not benefit the growth of the faith community. Doubt and struggle need to be shared, not hidden. It need not be seen as weakness to share weakness. You know, I was picturing this. Imagine Ananias and Sapphira in your small group, and they come clean about where their heart is. You know, I hear Ananias saying, you know, I don't think I can do this giving thing that Barnabas does. In fact, I don't even think I want to, but I want to look good. Am I awful? And I think other members in the group would say, you know what, I get that. I'm that way sometime too. I mean, what an opportunity for growth. You know, you coming and saying, you know, I don't get this. I find this hard to believe. I'm struggling with, and you go ahead and name it. Let's quit pretending that our marriages are all oh so pretty. Let's quit pretending that our kids are doing oh so well all the time. Let's quit pretending that our lives are oh so intact. We all need places and people where we can put our cards on the table and where we show ourselves the good, the bad, and the ugly. I think it's especially true now, too, when maybe we're spending a whole lot more time with each other, too. We need each other. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon writes, two are better than one because they have good return for their labor. If either one of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls down and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. And then a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. You know, Solomon's telling you, you need others. You need at least one. Jesus says it beautifully. Matthew 18, we read, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. There I am. He works in us, through us. That's why we think small groups are essential in our church. And let me ask you this. Do you have one where you have no secrets? And yeah, your spouse, sure, but I think some even beyond your spouse, at least one beside your spouse. You know, Proverbs, we read in Proverbs 27, verse 17, we read, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another, right? So this getting together process, right? I need that sharpening, but sharpening each other isn't always easy, right? And I have pictures of hammering and sparks flying. In Hebrews, we read it rather beautifully. It says, but encourage one another, how often? Daily. So long as it's called today. So that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Think about that. Deceit had hardened Ananias and Sapphira. They weren't authentic anywhere. And it can harden our hearts too. Transformation involves people knowing us because it's a real relationship. The gospel screams grace, which also screams, and you need it. Always. There's the line again. There was no needy person among them, which says there were lots of needy people around them. You know, I talked about bold living, and you can't fake that. You can't fake the bold living that is described. You will not develop an intimate prayer life with the Father and one another while you only pretend to have one when you don't. That's not going to work. You'll never develop a heart of generosity unless you admit your struggle with generosity. You'll never be free of that struggle unless you admit you struggle. And I need to repent of masks that I put on, and I think you do too. Because we're lying to God and ourselves. A God who loves you so deeply and longs for you to be completely the you he intends you to be. A God who longs to heal you. In Acts, we have a picture of the church living in authentic community. This involves so many beautiful things, but so important to remember. It involves struggling together too. It involved dealing with the messiness. Ananias and Sapphira were part of the story. We're going to see that carried on next week too when Pastor Dave preaches on Acts 6, right? Where the church continues to struggle of doing life together. And that is discipleship. The church is never static. It is the ongoing work of God in each of us in our time and in our space. I read this quote from Robert Frost that says rather well. It says, "How many things have to happen to you before something occurs to you?" And I'll let you ponder that one. May we be men and women fighting for the life Christ came to bring us. Becoming more and more the people and the community God wants us to be. A community that celebrates grace because we all need it. A community that battles hypocrisy because it's a community killer. A community striving and surrendering again and again and again to the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. And out of that, living the gospel reality that Christ came to bring us. Let's pray. Father God, we are so grateful that you are a God who calls us into life in all its fullness. Lord, I pray that we may be an authentic community where we celebrate our giftedness, but where we acknowledge our struggle. And that in all of that, you will work with your Spirit to transform our hearts. And we will encourage each other in that walk. In Jesus' name, amen. And now let's sing one more song before I give you the blessing.